Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Reverend Mark Vowles, our speaker will be Reverend Bob Bixby, Baptist World Missions missionary to Belgium. The title of his message is, The Essence of Evangelism is the Evangel. The text is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Our chapel speaker for today and tomorrow is Reverend Bob Bixby. Reverend Bixby is a 1993 graduate of Northland Baptist Bible College, and he grew up as a missionary kid in Africa and now serves in the country of Belgium with Baptist World Missions. Reverend Bixby is also the founder and director of an organization called Baptist Youth with a Vision, which essentially acts as a boot camp for those who are wanting to get more exposure to missionary training, and he operates that camp each summer in Western Europe. Because of Brother Bixby's enthusiasm for missions and his experience as both a missionary kid and a current missionary himself, he has gained great insight into missionary work, which has allowed him to be a frequent speaker, different camps and conferences, different Bible colleges here in America. And we're very pleased that he can come and challenge our hearts regarding world evangelism for these next several days. Please give him your attention as he comes.
Romans chapter 1. Last year when Mark wrote me about this conference, he semi-suggested that we preach out of this text. And I ignored it because as a preacher, I have my favorite messages that I like to preach. But a couple weeks ago, as I was beginning to pray for this particular ministry, I decided to read this passage over to understand the spirit of the faculty that chose this particular text as a theme for our conference this week. And the more I read it, the more I got excited about this passage. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 7 will be the text that we'll look at both today and tomorrow as the Lord permits. Let us read. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I have just read to you half of the longest salutation of Paul's 13 epistles. It is jammed-packed with theological truth. Paul can hardly contain himself as he begins to tell these people, the Romans, what is the centerpiece of his life. Paul was a missionary theologian, and one central theme of his life is mentioned in verse 1. He is a servant of the gospel of God. The French word for gospel is évangile. It comes from the word evangel. And I would like to propose to you this simple proposition. It's obvious. The essence of evangelism is the evangel. The essence of evangelism is the evangel. Evangel means news, particularly good news. Can I say two obvious things concerning news before I give you my outline? First of all, one obvious conclusion we make about news is that news is revelatory. It tells us something we did not know before. It shows us something we didn't have any idea of before. If you tell me, Bob, George W. Bush is the president of the United States of America, I would say to you, what's new? You haven't told me anything that I didn't know before. But if you tell me something that I did not know before, that makes news. That's obvious, you say. But that is true about the gospel of God. It is revelatory. It tells man something he did not know before and could not even know before unless God initiated it. Another obvious statement we can make about news is that it must have a medium of expression. It must have a medium of expression. And that primary medium is words. People use words to express news. The same is true with the gospel. The primary medium of the good news is word. The word. My favorite teacher in Bible college, Dr. Doug McLaughlin, would tell us all the time, the stuff of preaching is words. The stuff of news is words. And we think particularly today of the good news, the gospel of God. I would like to share with you two thoughts, as time permits, two primary thoughts from this text. First of all, the vehicle of the good news, and then the vessel of the good news. The vehicle of the good news. What is a vehicle? A vehicle is an agent of transmission or of transportation, the medium through which something is expressed. The good news has a vehicle. That vehicle is the Word. We see in verse 3, you'll notice in your King James Bible, they have verse 2 in parenthetical statements. In verse 3, he begins to elaborate on this gospel of God. He says it's concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. First of all, we have the Word incarnate. The incarnate. In comes from the Latin. Incarne is the Latin word for flesh. We get words like carnivorous and other words from that to root. In the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on, we find out in that same gospel that the Word became flesh. The gospel, the good news, is the Word incarnate. It is described to us in verse 3. He came according to the flesh. He became a man. He lived in our history. He understood our context. He knows our feelings because He Himself endured temptation and trials. And then He established Himself as the Son of God. He was eternally the Son of God, but proved it by the resurrection from the dead, and by whom we receive grace and apostleship. Folks, we introduce a person, not a plan. We introduce someone that we love. When someone asks me to introduce Jenny, my wife, the love of my life, I don't robotically spew out a plan that I learned as to how to introduce her. You can say anything, and I know how to introduce the person that I love. Any subject will make me think of several other subjects about that person. If you say shopping, I immediately think of Walmart, Marshall Fields, and any other place that will take our Visa credit card, because that's what my wife loves to do. If you say a film, my wife loves Anne of Green Gables over and over and over and over again. And she cries when Matthew dies. Every time. I've tried to prepare her. Honey, he's going to die again. But my wife won't quit crying until Matthew quits dying. Any subject, I can tell you something about my wife. From any place, I can tell you something about the person I love, Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet we get so stuck on plans and methods. Can I tell you something that might sound a little bit heretical? For 5 years, I've been planning a church in Belgium. And Lord willing, in a couple months, we will be installing a French pastor. But we have not taught our people a plan of salvation. We've not taught them a plan to introduce Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning during Sunday school, we talk about the person of Jesus Christ. And these people, some of them can witness better than preachers, I've heard. They can explain Jesus Christ in such a wonderful way, in a simple way, because it is a person that they love, that they want to communicate about. Imagine Philip when he was taken out into the desert and he met up with the Ethiopian eunuch and he got onto the chariot and the Ethiopian said, "Would you explain this to me?" And he opens the Bible to Isaiah and Philip goes, "Oh man, can't we go to Romans? That's my plan." No, Philip, the Bible says, started preaching Jesus from that text. Jesus Christ is the person, and He is the gospel, and that is how the good news comes to man. But praise God, wonder of wonders, according to verse 2, this word is written down, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That word could mean writing. It is written down. We cannot separate our love for Jesus Christ from our love for the Word of God. There are people who say, "I love Jesus, but I don't love doctrine." No, you don't love Jesus. You cannot separate the Word incarnate from the Word written down. Now, this is very important to us, folks. I wonder as I travel around and visit missionaries and missionary countries and then talk missiology. No, I don't think anyone loves to discuss missiology like I do. I love to. I could spend hours talking about it. But ultimately, it comes down to this. It's not our tricks, nor our methods, nor our mission boards, nor money. It is a person of Jesus Christ as He's revealed in the Word of God. And it is our duty as missionaries and preachers of the Word to know Jesus and to love Him and to endear Him to our own souls on a daily basis, so that when we walk out, the Word just oozes out of our life. We need to be vessels. Paul said in a later epistle, he said, we contain this treasure in earthen vessels. What is that vessel like? In verse 1, we see the characteristics of that vessel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. First of all, he was a servant. A servant says, "Here I am." He loved his master. Secondly, he was a sent one. A sent one says, "Here I go." He loved his mission. Third, he was separated. A separated one says, "Here I stay." He loved his message. Paul was a servant. If we read the Scriptures and observe the word servant and observe their response, you begin to get the idea that in the Hebrew mentality, a servant was expected to have a three-word vocabulary, and these are they. "Here I am." That was all he was supposed to say. "Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Whatever the word, the written word requires of me, that's what I'll do." We need more than we need money in missions. We need missionaries and preachers to open up their Scriptures on a daily basis and say, "Here I am. I will obey what the Word says. I will conform my attitude to what the Word says. I'll conform my thoughts to what the Word says. I will serve the Word. It will be the master of my life. It will be the master of my thoughts. It will be the master of my preaching. It will dominate my methods. It will dominate my work. When I wake up in the morning, here I am. At noon, here I am. When I close my eyes at night, here I am." Sadly, there are people in the ministry that are falling out right and left, even in our fundamental circles. I talked to a friend of mine who recently came out of the ministry. A leader in our circles, well-respected, and he confided that in several years' time, he had not had devotional life. And little by little, he became the servant of his own lust. Paul was a servant of the Word. It amazes me how we bicker and argue and fight and take stands on theological and doctrinal issues, and we forget to be ye kind one to another. That's in the Bible. Where will the servants come from? Paul was not only a servant of the Word, saying, "Here I am," loving his master, but we see also he was called to be an apostle. He was a sent one. "Here I go." He loved his mission. Now, I realize that this title, this word apostle is titular. Paul was an apostle, but there is a reproducible quality in it that we can all apply to our own selves, because we too are sent ones, according to John chapter 17. We are sent with a mission. What does that word missions mean to you? I am a pastor not only to a French congregation, but to an American military congregation. By the way, it's a great time to be a pastor to American military. But they understand the meaning of the word mission. There are two thoughts that come into their mind when you say mission. One is specificity and the other is sending. They are sent out on a specific job and they won't come back until that specific job is accomplished. They know when they started it and they know what they're doing and they know when it's finished. And Paul was the same way. He was a sent one with a mission. and he had a fixation, and that fixation was the gospel of God. He said, I determined not to know anything but Christ, because that is the evangel. That is the good news. And the essence of evangelism is not computer technology. It's not display boards. It's not Christian politics. The essence of evangelism is the Word, Jesus Christ. I will fix my thoughts and my message and everything on Him. And I will not be swayed from it. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He centered on His mission and would not be deterred. I have grown up on the mission field and I am a missionary. And the burden of my heart is to see not just more people coming to the field, but seeing more people becoming servants of the Word, sent ones of the Word, that are obsessed with their mission. And they know that mission. That mission is the gospel of God. Paul was a servant. Here I am. He loved his master. He was a sent one. Here I go. He loved his mission. He was a separated one. Here I stay. He loved his message. Now, most of the time when we talk about separation, we talk about it in a negative sense, separating from something, separating from evil, distancing ourselves from error. But this is in a positive tone here. He separates to something. It means to be marked out. It means to have something stamped upon him. And Paul said, I want this marked on me. I am set apart for this and nothing else. And that is the gospel of God. I don't have time for anything else. I won't give time to anything else. My hobby is the gospel of God. My life is the gospel of God. My breath is the gospel of God. My reason for being is the gospel of God. And that's why Paul at the end of his life could say, I have fought the good fight, because he had kept his mission and he had kept the message. He stayed on target. We need young men today that will fix their hearts on the gospel truth. It seems like to say the word missionary theologian is an oxymoron. We need to call for an end to that day, friends. We need to call for men who have no time for anything else but the Word. In the Word of God. Recently, I went to visit a missionary, and he took me up to his office, and he wanted to show me his computer game. He was so enthused that he had reached 13,000 whatever points and level whatever on this computer game. And he was telling me about it, and I could not even pretend to be polite. I was upset. And I asked him, how many hours do you spend on this? He said, with a little bit of a blush, well, sometimes a couple of hours a day. This is a man whose support cost our American churches $50,000 a year. In the meantime, we as people are trying to find new methods, new tricks, new gimmicks, new ideas, new vocabulary. And Paul would scream out to us if he were here, the essence of evangelism is the evangel. Know it. Love it. Serve it. Obey it. Cling to it. Make that your obsession. Spend no time with anything else. Sadly, missionaries today spend more time tinkering than thinking. They're more interested in technology than theology. They could tell you all about computers and the Palm Pilot and all of these things. And sometimes they even brag that they don't know much about theology. That's not their role. It's almost an understood mentality that if you're a great preacher, be an evangelist. If you're mediocre, be a pastor. And if you're a loser, be a missionary. But folks, we're taking the gospel of God to the uttermost parts of the world. We need to realize that the highest calling in life is to preach this word. This is where it is. The answer is in this book and it is in nowhere else. We need to have the attitude of Ruth toward the Scriptures. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Listen to this again and hear David echo in the back and say, ask yourself if this is not your heartbeat toward the Word of God. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following thee. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. For whither thou goest, I will go," said Ruth. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy people shall be my people. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And thy God, my God, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Dr. Ernest Pickering, who many of you know who is now with the Lord, told me something a long time ago that changed my life. I was filled with zeal and determination and ready to go. And Dr. Pickering took me aside one day and he said, "Bob, you make sure you spend a lot of time every morning reading the gospel. And when you've done that, read 10 pages of theology every day." I took his advice. And after I'd been a missionary for 5 years, it began to dawn on my heart that there is nothing else to know about missions except our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Instead of learning how to use the computer, I recruited people to come and be secretaries. And we recruited the team around us so that God could help those of us that were preachers to spend our time in the Word. And now, as we recruit young people, and as we ask them to consider the fields that are beyond our 50 United States, this is what we're saying. Do you know the message? Do you love the message? Do you have a relationship with the message? Can you say, like Paul the Apostle, "I am a servant. What it says, I will do"? Perhaps there's a young person in this room today who is struggling, saying, "I want to be a preacher of the Word of God, but you're not submitting your attitude toward your authorities." I know what that's like. I've been there. Obey the message. Be a servant of it now. You want to have an impact on the world and on missions? Become a servant of the Word. Love your master. Say, "Here I am." Realize that God has placed you here for the time that He wants you. You are not at Bob Jones University because of your own choice. God planned for you to be here and He sent you here. And as you draw in breath and expel it, it's because God is leaving you here on this earth as a sent one. Learn about your mission. It is specific, my friends. It is all boiled down to this. It doesn't matter whether you go to China or if you go to Zimbabwe or if you go to Uzbekistan or if you go to Russia. It doesn't matter if you work with young people or old people or if you work with Awanas or if you work in the States. It all boils down to this. The mission is Christ. Know Him and love Him. If you don't see Him when you open up the book, ask yourself, what is wrong with your heart? And plead with God to show you the message. Do as John Wesley. Someone asked John Wesley what the secret of his success was. He said, I don't know, but I know this. I go and get on, set myself on fire and people come and watch me burn. Finally, and this is to young men, preachers. Put a mark on your forehead that says, no time for anything but the Word. I'm set apart for this. I am separated unto the gospel of God. The greatest hindrance to ministry today is that preachers and missionaries are allowing themselves to be distracted by the innocent things of lives. We need just a couple of you to chime in with our Apostle Paul and say, I'm marked out for this. I belong to the message. Father, I thank You for the text that we have before us. I thank You for the choice of this text by the faculty. I pray that You would hear our prayers and that You would help us to realize that it is not what we do, it is who we are that is important. I pray that You would send this group of people all over the world, but that this group would be honed in on the specifics of their mission. That they would not be distracted. That any outsider looking on would say, that person is separated to the gospel of God. That person has a fixation with the gospel of God. For it is the Word that overcomes. We are merely the vessels. Hear our prayer, the prayer of this faculty, and the prayer of many of the servants of God in this room. Give us men who will be proclaimers of the gospel of God, who will say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the evangel is the essence of evangelism. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Bob Bixby, missionary to Belgium. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7.20 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.